I'd like to hear from Anthony and Tina right now. I think they've got a word from the Lord that they would like to share with you. Come on up.
Okay. First, family, we have a confession to make. We haven't been exactly forthcoming about some of our troubles. it isn't because of shame, and it isn't because of pride. It's because of our faith in each other and our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we received a letter from the county treasurer's office, and they told us that our house has been put on a list for auction. They put a whole bunch of new houses in our community, and it raised our taxes up to about $1,000 a year. So we've really been struggling with that. But after I got the letter, I looked directly at Anthony and I told him, I'm not worried. The Lord has this. He knows what we're going through. And it will be fixed. It will be fine. We can do this as a team. We'll be okay. So the prayers became more intense. Anthony's going to tell you what he was praying about.
Morning, church family. I was praying hard on what I could do to get another job, to make this work, to keep our home, because, you know, this is our livelihood. So I prayed hard. I prayed for 2 days that the Lord would show me what I needed to do, if I needed to find another job, if I needed to work a second job. I went to work that Monday. Okay, and I'm going to let her tell her.
Okay. So my prayers weren't exactly prayers as much as conversation to our Father. And I told him, I said, look, I trust that you've had our feet planted here for a purpose. I trust that if it's your will that things change, just give us direction. Show me how and where we're supposed to do this. So then, if you don't believe that the Lord works in mysterious ways, this will prove that he does. There was a gentleman at Anthony's job that was sent to Anthony as a messenger. The man is not a Christian, but he is a believer. He told Anthony exactly where to get the money and exactly how to get the money, to make sure that we kept our home.
So as I was talking to him, I was explaining to him, I'm like, man, he's seen the anguish, he's seen the disgust in my face, and said, you know, what's wrong? I say, man, I got a letter in the mail, and they're trying to take our home from us. So I say, I don't know what to do. He says, I got the right answer for you right now. He said, I was in the same position about a year ago, and he didn't know what to do. So he told me, he said, you know what? I went and talked to a person in HR and said that he needed money for his home because they were going to take his home. So I asked him what he did. He said, we have a 401k that we can borrow against, and I never even knew about it. I thought it was just there until my retirement. So they said, yeah, you can borrow against it. I said, no, I can't do that. He's like, that's there for your use. So I prayed about it, and I got my answer, and we're going to keep our home.
Yes, we're going to keep our home. So it was an answer to his prayers, And it was confirmation for me that our feet are planted here for a purpose and that he loves us. He will never forsake us. And I'm going to quote, and I can't remember the word right now, but in Hebrews 13:5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. We will not fear. What can man do to us? That's it.
Testimony. Amen. I think a lot of us have been there in that same situation. Maybe not the same circumstance. Many of us have. And those are the type of things that keep you up at night. Right? And then you pray to God and you find out you have a loving Father. And he wants to prove that to you in a way. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. Fear of the unknown. What do you do when something like that happens? That just blindsides you. Through either a phone call or a letter in the mail? It's scary. This morning we'll be in the book of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, please open them with me, or if you want to use your phone app. Book of Matthew, chapter 14. Let's begin our worship like we do by joining me in shouting, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord," and especially after those testimonies, we want to praise the Lord. And you know, sometimes it's easy for us sometimes to stop believing in God, what he wants best for us a lot of times, and for you and me. And sometimes it's easy to stop trusting God, because sometimes we want to do it ourselves. But then those times that blindside us, or those times that catch us out of nowhere, they catch us off guard. But when we go through those, it's possible to get through those periods of unbelief possessing a stronger faith than we've ever had before, as you've heard this morning through testifying of the Word of God. Because Jesus allows fearful situations in our lives so that he can come to us in a way that he has never come to us before. Why would God use an unbeliever to minister to Tina and Anthony? Unbelievable. But yet, praise God, what he does. You know, there's a lot of things that we're afraid of these days, tempting us to stop trusting and believing in God because we just think, God, did you just leave us and go to another planet, or did you just get fed up with us? But this morning, I'd like to look at how the Lord can use our fear, those fears in our lives, to actually build our faith. I want to talk to you today about fear of the unknown, because today, as we remember 9-1-1, there's a lot to be afraid of that we weren't before. And I'm not just talking about 9-1-1. You just watch the TV nowadays, or your the messages on your phone from the news apps, and you can just see things that are happening that we've never had to face before or go through before. You just shake your head and say things are just crazy. I mean, we're fearful for our children growing up in this world where evil people are doing evil things to the most vulnerable of us in our society today. We're fearful a lot of times for our health, because when you can see it, when something, even when just a little bit is wrong with our bodies, or the doctor says, there's a spot I want to check out, all of a sudden the worry comes on. Then you watch TV and you just don't know what to eat. One minute, one study finds something wrong with it, and then a year later or so, another study says, well, it wasn't that bad. And then the medicine they tell you to take, you watch those commercials on TV and you hear the little disclaimer statement at the end of those things, and you catch what they're saying, and it's like, what causes suicide? What could cause death? What? You're afraid to take some medicine because you don't know if it's going to kill you. It's just you don't know what to do, and you can become fearful medically. Do I take this prescription or do I not? As if I know it's supposed to be good for me, but what's going to be the side effects? We can certainly become fearful financially, as you heard today from Anthony and Tina. Fear that maybe the collapse in our culture is going to render us homeless or penniless. I know now they have this, Bitcoin now? Some people are investing in. Dale said the other day that he bought $100 of it a year ago just to kind of, you know, see what it was about. I don't even know what Bitcoin is. When I hear it, I think of a pirate biting a coin to see if it's valuable or not. Get it? Bitcoin? That's just the way I think. I don't know. But while there's a lot of things that can create fear in our lives and cause fear, God does not want us to be owned by fear. Amen? He doesn't want us to walk around constantly wondering, what's the next thing that's going to happen to me? So the question is, how do I overcome this thing called fear, or fear of the unknown, when it starts to become a phobia in your life, when it starts to become a modus operandi of kind of how you think and act, when it becomes the means of which you or I function? When it becomes, I just live in fear of what's going to happen next. Now, of course, we cannot remove all the scary moments in our lives, amen? Those come into our lives, but I'm talking about when fear becomes a normal way in your life. And the Bible itself, it talks a lot about fear. So many times in the Word, it's used in the Bible. A lot of times it's used in the negative sense. Other times it talks about fear in a positive sense. Times it tells us to fear the Lord. It's used in a positive sense, talking about the reverence for God, having a fear for Him. But it's regularly used in a negative sense as well, referring to us being either terrorized by that which is perceived to bring us harm in some way. And of all the passages in the Bible about fear I could go to, and yes, there are many, I want to take you to one I really like, and I know you've probably heard it before, but it is still good. It's a story found in Matthew chapter 14. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and John, all of those. But I'm going to go look at Matthew's version today, because Matthew tells us something that the other two do not about Peter's involvement in this situation. Now, we'll look at Peter's involvement next Sunday, but today I want to look at the fear aspect. And we'll spend today as well as next Sunday in this passage. So I want to give you some principles right now how to deal with fear of the unknown in reference to facing those circumstances or those fears in your life that we come across. Verse 22 of Matthew says, chapter 14 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, for the waves were contrary. Let me just stop there and say, if you are in the will of God, Jesus has you here. Let me say that again. If you are in the will of God, then Jesus has both you and me here, where we're going through. You see, verse 22 says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them and go to the other side. And it was while they were doing what Jesus had told them to do that they ran into this fearful situation. We're not talking about people who say, well, I don't care about Jesus, or, I don't give God much thought, or I don't really care about God's will in my life. I kind of do my own thing, and I show my appreciation to God every now and then. No, these disciples at this time were in the perfect will of God as well as the perfect storm. In other words, obeying God can sometimes lead to rough sailing. Now, I know we hear things often sometimes like, you follow Jesus and it won't rain on your parade. He'll keep you protected. He'll keep you safe. But these gentlemen were following Jesus. And it says that the boat was being battered. Look at verse 24. It was just being battered by the waves. Well, let me throw this out there to you. Have you ever been beat up? These guys were being battered. And the thing about the storm is this. You can't control the storm in your life. You have absolutely no say-so about those wind and waves that come across to you. You're busy hanging on for dear life. It's out of control. And yet Jesus put me here. Isn't that one of the reasons we ask God a lot of why questions? Jesus, why do you have me here? Why do you have me going through this, Jesus? Well, the first thing I want to share with you is that when life makes you fearful of the unknown that faces ahead of you, and you're going to see this about how afraid these disciples were in a moment, that if you have committed yourself to Jesus Christ, and to the best of your knowledge, you're operating in His will, then that situation that is making you fearful of the unknown, just know that Jesus put you in it. He didn't put you in it to get a good laugh and a giggle, to see, well, I want to see how much he spends. You know, one of the great truths of the Bible is that we have to understand that nothing comes to you or I without passing through his fingers first, because he loves us and protects us. It's called sovereignty. That in order for it to get to you or to me, it has to get to you by permission. So these disciples were in the perfect will of God, yet they're struggling with a bad situation that's going to make them very, very much afraid. Let me go into a little bit more detail of this situation. There's a storm following what Jesus had told them to do, get in the boat. And we're going to be told in a moment that it was about the fourth watch, which means it's about anywhere from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning. So it's very dark outside. And not only is the wind beating these guys up out there, they can't see straight because the waves have them going up and down. And sometimes when things come at us seemingly out of nowhere, and they start beating you up and me up and making us kind of fearful, we can't see either. We get dizzy. Either physically or emotionally, sometimes spiritually. And how many of you know when we're dizzy, sometimes you don't make the best decisions in your life? You can't see anything, it seems like. You try to, but everything is just kind of a blur. You're starting to panic. It's dark. And not only that, but we're also told in the book of Mark, chapter 6, where he talks about the story that they were in the middle of the sea. So in other words, they were halfway to their journey to the other side. So what do you do when you're halfway? Do you keep on going, or do you turn back, or are you kind of like Malcolm in the Middle? You're just kind of stuck there. Well, let me tell you something else. Jesus was nowhere to be found. Jesus sent them, and then he goes off to a prayer meeting. Because verse 23 says that he went up onto the mountain to pray. So when circumstances cause you to be afraid of the unknown, and you're doing what Jesus has told you to do to the best of your ability, just know that he has you here. You're not just there because what's happening there didn't catch Jesus by surprise. It's not just some random thing. Now, I know it shook you up. And I know those things that come across shook me up. And I know, as Anthony and Tina's testimony today, it shook them up. But it didn't catch God by surprise, because he knew what was happening. Because if you're in his will, he has you. You are doing what he said for you to do to the best of your ability. Now, if you're out of his will, if you're rebelling against him, then that's another situation. That's another sermon for another day. But they were doing what Jesus had them to do. So the first thing you have to understand is that Jesus has me here. Jesus has you here. And don't forget that. You can always say, I don't like being here. I'm scared. I'm scared to be here. I don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. I mean, no one wants to be in those circumstances. But I, you know, and I probably wouldn't be here if I wouldn't have done what God told me to do. God told me to do this in my life and look at this. We're here. So the first principle to remember in facing fear of the unknown is that Jesus has you. Second principle when you're in a scary situation, and I want you to know this, is that Jesus is praying for you. It says in verse 23, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And he was there alone. So he sends his disciples across the sea without him, and then he goes off to a prayer meeting. Jesus, you know, if you're sending me out, you know, that I'm, and you know that I'm going to be in a storm, can't you just pray with me instead of going off by yourself? But now instead you go off to a separate situation, separate location, and then you pray. This is called intercession. Jesus' full-time job right now, while sitting on the right hand of God, while sitting on the right hand of the Father, is to intercede for both you and for me. Now let me explain something. This is really what you want Jesus doing. You want Jesus to go to bat for you, interceding with the Father. In John chapter 11, Martha told Jesus, she said, whatever you ask of the Father, he'll do it. You know, we've been praying, and evidently we don't seem to be getting through. You need to pray, Jesus. So now why does Jesus need to intercede for you and for me? Well, first of all, an intercessor is a go-between. It's like getting a lawyer. He's a go-between. He's a go-between between the client and the court. It's a go-between. Now, you can try to do this yourself in court, but chances are you're going to fall on your face. So you need a go-between. You see, Jesus has two vital characteristics that you need to know about and you need to never forget. Number one, he's fully God. So you know what God's talking about. God knows all things, sees all things. But also, he's fully man. And he knows what man is going through. See, the Father knows what you're going through, but he's never gone through it. Only the Son has gone through what it feels like and what it looks like to be a human. Father has never been human. The Son, Jesus Christ, is the human member of the Trinity, but yet he's also God. He's what Job called in Job chapter 9, verses 32 and 33. Job calls him an umpire, someone to stand between me and God. Somebody who understands God, but also somebody who understands me and what I'm going through. It would kind of be like a male doctor delivering a baby and a female doctor delivering a baby. Both of them know what they're doing. But if that female doctor has some kids, then she understands what the soon-to-be mother is going through. See, the male doctor, he can pat you on the back, and he can say it's going to be all right, and it won't be long. Just hang in there. And see, the male doctor does that. He just says, you know, push, 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 push. Come on, hold on. And all that stuff that goes with that. And the male doctor can say it, but he can't feel it because he's never had to go through it. Now, he can watch you go through it, and he knows what to do about it, but he can't enter into the experience that the mother's having because he's never been pregnant before. But now this female doctor here with three kids who's patting you on the back and who's saying, you know, I've laid where you're laying before, so I exactly know how you're feeling. I said plenty of those oohs and ahs, and I've been where you are, so I can't, you know, not only can I help you through it, I can walk with you through this because I've experienced it myself. And the reason why Jesus intercedes for you and I is because he can talk to the Father like a human being, like you and like me. But at the same time, he can also meet the standards of the Father because he is the perfect Son of God, while we still live in our imperfection. So what Jesus does when we are in his will in a difficult situation is that he intercedes for us to the Father. So when Jesus is interceding for us to the Father, what's he saying? So now that we know Jesus Christ is praying for you and I, the question is, what exactly is Jesus praying for us about? Well, in Luke chapter 22, we find Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, I am praying for you. What are you praying for, Peter, Jesus? And Jesus says, I am praying that your faith does not fail. He told Peter that he's praying that Peter's faith does not fail. Why? Because you've been terrorized by something. And when we go through things like that, it's easy for your faith and my faith to fail. When we go through things like that, it's easy for you to stop believing in God. It's easy for you and I to stop trusting in God. It's easy for you to believe that if I wouldn't have found God, I probably wouldn't be in this mess. It's easy for your faith and my faith to fail when you're in a terrorizing situation and when you're afraid of the unknown that you face before you. He said, Peter, I'm praying that you just hang in there and that you don't walk away from me just because the going has got tough. And if truth be told, there are many people here today, many people who used to be here, where fear of the unknown has caused their faith to fail. Sometimes it's the single person who's afraid, says, I'll follow Jesus. I'm afraid if I'll follow Jesus, then I'm never going to get married. I'm afraid that I'm going to end up single all my life because I have these high standards. And the temptation of their faith failing causes them to marry a non-Christian, even though they know that's not in God's will for them to do that. It's the person who has really no biblical grounds for divorce, but yet they just don't want to be married anymore because they're not happy. And their temptation is for their faith to fail because they're afraid that if they're going to be in this miserable relationship for the rest of my life, I don't want to do that. And so they make a decision on their own, and their faith fails them. And Jesus says, I am interceding for you. I know the waves are coming in against you. I know they're beating you down. And you're feeling like they're just beating you to death. But I pray that your faith does not fail. In fact, Mark chapter 6 talks about it. It says Jesus saw them struggling. He saw them out there in the middle of the sea just hanging on for dear life. They're in the middle of the water. They're rowing this boat, and they're trying to go a certain way, but the wind was, it says the Bible in our passage, the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was blowing in the opposite direction. It was strong, and it was beating them both and the boat to death. In other words, they were trying to go to where God wanted them to go, and the wind wouldn't let them. Jesus, why did you tell me to go here if you're not going to let me get there? Why tell me to do this if you're not going to help me get it done? Why? Why are you sending me through all of this trouble and I'm not making any progress? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Making no progress. And not only I'm not making any progress in this situation, I'm downright scared. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm scared because I'm being beat down. These winds and waves and problems and difficulties, I'm just not getting anywhere. And it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, it says that Jesus saw them out there struggling. So he's watching them struggle. I mean, it's anywhere from 3 to 4 or 5 or 6 in the morning, which means it's dark the fourth watch, I don't know if you've ever been on a lake at night without any lights. It is scary. Now, sometimes you can see lights on the shore from cabins or campfires or night lights. Maybe sometimes your boat has a spotlight on it. These guys didn't have that. It was pitch black. And if you're in a pitch black on a lake and being tossed and back and forth, you don't know what's going to happen. There were no lights on the Sea of Galilee. It was pitch black. So how is Jesus seeing them struggle if it's pitch black? That is, maybe he has eyes that are not like your normal 20/20 vision. But being the Son of God, you can see things like that. Plus, I'm sure when the lightning's striking and flashes of lightning, he can probably catch glimpses of them out there in the middle of that lake. God sees you struggle. God sees how you're fearful of something. He sees that these waves of life are coming beating against you and you don't know what you can make of it. He sees when you're scared to death. And he's praying for you. So the first principle to remember is, one, Jesus has you. Second one is, Jesus is praying for you. And the third one is that Jesus will come to you. He will come to you. Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. This is just great. You know, it's almost like you want to give the benediction and go home. But watch this now. They're scared to death. You can see that in just a second. They're terrified because they don't know if they're going to live or die, if the seas are going to take the boat down, or if they're going to be washed overboard. And they don't know what's going to happen. And they're doing what Jesus has told them to do. But Jesus knew where they are. Jesus was praying for them. Now he's walking on water to them. Wait a minute. Maybe I missed something here. Wasn't the water the problem? Wasn't the water what the issue was all about? The winds and the waves beating the ship back and forth and almost trying to sink it? But watch this now in our passage. Jesus came to them walking on the problem. Amen? Hang in there now with me. The winds and the waves was their problem. Jesus came to them on top of the thing that was wrong or causing them fear. In other words, Jesus let that problem be the staircase by which he reached them. And I think most of us a lot of times look at what's wrong and we say, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in all of this? Well, Jesus is looking down at us and seeing what is wrong and saying, man, that's a great path for me to get to them. In other words, Jesus allows fearful situations in our lives so that he can come to us in a way he has never come to us before. He may even use an unbeliever to get to you. A person that doesn't go to church. Because he loves you that much. Look at the next verse. Look at what it says. And the disciples saw him walking along the sea, and they were terrified. They said, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. They're scared. Jesus has 12 grown men in that boat, and they're terrified. Why are they scared? Why? Because Jesus is coming to them in a way that he had never come to them before. Because they'd never seen Jesus walk on water up to this point. You see, maybe they thought, well, Jesus can't walk on water. Because we've never seen Jesus walk on water. So that cannot be Jesus walking on the water, because I've never seen him do it. Have you? No. I've never heard anybody testify about him doing it. I don't expect it. Well, therefore, it can't be Jesus. When actually Jesus was using the thing that was scaring them as a way of getting to them. Because he wanted to see them coming away. He wanted them to see him coming away that they had never seen him come before. And God does the same things in our lives and in our circumstances, just as you've heard testify today. One of the reasons God allows us to be fearful in unknown situations is so that he can let you and I see something about him that we've never seen before. He wants you and I to see him in a way that we maybe have never even discovered him before or have ever even thought about what he would do in our lives before. Because why? Here's what happens. A lot of us have Jesus in a little box. And we have him very nicely compartmentalized. We even decorate this box to make it pretty, paint it gold maybe to look holy, put some maybe some stones on it or something. And, you know, and we say in our lives, in our spiritual lives, this is the way God does things to the best of my know-how. Or this is how God does things from what I've seen him do in other people. This is when God does things, especially when you read the Word. And we have God trapped nicely, very nicely. He's comfortable. We maybe even put a little pillow in there, very nicely in this box, so that if God would happen to come in any other way, then we're going to be like those disciples and say, it's a ghost. I mean, we're not talking about the gospel Holy Ghost. We're talking about scared. It's a scary ghost. This is a terrifying situation. And what terrified them was their answer. What terrified them was their solution. What terrified them was the answer to their problem. They just didn't recognize it because they had never seen Jesus in this way before. And we do the same things in our lives when we have never seen Jesus act in a way before, that we're not familiar to him or that we don't have him compartmentalized in a box. Don't do that. You're going to miss out if you do. Disciples tried to do that. When they say, Jesus, these people are over here kind of doing what you believe in, but they're a little off. They don't believe like us. What'd Jesus say? Leave them alone. They're not against us, so that's good. Listen, when God puts you in a scary situation, he knows that you're there. He's praying for you. Guess what? He's also coming to you. But he may be coming in a way that you and I have never seen him before. And that's why we can't put Jesus in a box. Because God will surprisingly amaze you this time. He'll let you discover something that you would have never imagined what he would do. And so he walks to them in the middle of the sea. And when did he walk to them? He walked to them when no human options were left. Or what are these guys going to do? Because you're in the middle and you don't know which way to go. There's no human options left. We don't have any life rafts, no life vests on here, because they're in the middle and they don't know which way to go. So what happens? Okay, Jesus immediately speaks to them because he hears his disciples screaming in fear. He hears when you're screaming in fear. And in the next verse, verse 27, it says, they cried out, so he spoke quick. And the same happens in our lives. When you're tired of sitting there worship Jesus quiet and, you know, just praying, just really. But when you actually get scared and cry out to Jesus, he speaks quick to you. He knows, I hear my child has fallen. I'm coming to his aid. Take courage, what he says. What does he say? Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. He speaks the word before he solves their problem. Because the storm's still raging. And they're screaming. They still think he's a ghost walking toward them. And he says, take courage. It is I. Stop being afraid. Fear of the unknown was just overwhelming them. Just controlling them, just as it does in our lives. Fear keeps you up at night. But God comforts them with his word before he changes their circumstances. You see, that's why it is so important to go to God's word in your time of uncertainty, in your time of fear, and just to be versed in it all the times. Just don't come running to it when you're fearful. Even so, if that's the only time you do, well, then that's great. Because when you're afraid, you listen for his voice because he's coming to you and to me. And just remember that he uses things that are causing you and I to be afraid as a place to use as a staircase to come to you in a way that you've never seen him before. Why? To increase your faith. Let's pray. Father, our hearts and minds are flooded with fears at times. Sometimes we get to the point to where we just feel paralyzed. We feel unable to go on. And at times these fears just seem to overwhelm us, and they just seem to remain with us day and night. We wake up and we think it's gone away like a bad dream, and it's right there before us. But yet we hold on to the truth. You've told us not to fear. You've overcome the world. You promised that in your word. So we cling tightly to you, and we trust in your promises that you will never fail us nor forsake us, just as you've heard testified today before your very presence, Father. And in moments when fear just seems to cripple us, we choose to hold your hand. Because we know that you've experienced the most fearful places, and we know that you have risen again, and you are our Redeemer. Because in you all promises meet, and new life begins within us. And you are our Savior. And we hide in you, protected by your love and sheltered by your grace. In your name we pray, Jesus. And all the church said, Amen.